Today we have a special guest, Minister Archbishop Mark Kambalazaza from Malawi. He's part of our network with the Zoe Association of Churches and Businesses and Nonprofits and Individuals who have a kingdom mindset. He passed us a picture of his church, one of his services he has. Pastors about 9,000 people. A man who God, who was a Catholic priest. He died from a sickness and disease. He was going to hell. He talked about that and how God delivered him. I get encouraged by men like you, my brother. And that's why I'm recapturing my boldness, man, my brother. I can't talk about anybody else. But I want the signs and the wonders that only the kingdom of God presents. So thank you for being my friend, being here, being an example. You know, when you don't into a place you don't have much, you don't have all the development like we have in the States, you have no choice but to believe God to be everything to you. Let us not become so comfortable that God is not first. Let's receive Archbishop Mark Kambalazaza.
Father, we thank you for gathering us again this morning. We come before you, Lord, humbly because you are our God. You are the only creator of heavens and earth. Thank you, Father. We need your word to feed from your table and nothing more but you. We exalt the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Speak to us, Lord. Holy Ghost, take over. Yes. Share us your word. Yes. You are the greatest teacher in the world. Yes. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Yes. Thank you, Holy. We bind every activity of the devil and demons. They are not allowed in this place. Yes. But in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I would like to thank the father and the mother of this house for the great honor of welcoming me and my wife and Irene, My lovely wife and I. And Bishop Smith is a man of vision. The First Lady, they carry a great vision for this church. And you'll not make a mistake to stick to them. Yeah, you'll be very wise to be under them. And I thank God for their love. The moment we met in South Africa, I could see the man and the woman of God. Yes, you can tell. Hallelujah. Yourself. God bless all the leaders as well, and all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So greetings from Malawi, and we welcome you there one day. Come and visit us. Yeah, I'm part of Zoe now. I'm happy. You're part of Zoe. Yeah. My little theme is, I will change a little bit, just say, the you in you. I didn't know who I was before. But time came when I knew the me in me. When I died. I was sick from 1991. I mean, from 1980 to 1991, 11 years. And I had gone under the care of many doctors. But I was never healed. And after some 9 years, I was kicked out of the major seminary. Because they said these ailments simply means that God is not calling you to be a priest. Wow. So go back home to your country. Yeah, so I cried in my ear because I thought of becoming a priest in 1973. And this was 1989. They are saying, you can't make it. Wow. God is not calling you. And so in the night, I had a very serious encounter. I heard the Lord call my name 3 times and ask me, why are you worried? Have you prayed? Go and pray. So I jumped up. I went into the chapel. I knelt down, and I did not say the prayers of memory, but I recited the prayer from the heart. I said, Lord, here I am, distressed, disappointed. You called me in 1973. This is 89. And you have seen me sick all these years. And you haven't taken care of me to heal me. Now look, they have chased me. I'm going back home. It doesn't matter. Find me a better girl to marry, you know. Because this is now over. And I said what I want to say. And then I said, Lord, say what you want to say. So the Lord said, the reasons why we called you here are over. We want you to go back home, go to your bishop, go back to the seminary. You know, I was so excited, I did not even ask the Lord how he would heal me that day because of that encounter. You know, I forgot about myself. And the me in me was still wounded and hiding. The me in me did not come out because I never expressed anything, you know, to Jesus Christ. So when the Lord said, you can go and sleep, I went to sleep. When I went back home, whatever the Lord told me is what came to pass. And in 1991, I was very critical. I visited the last witch doctor. And this witch doctor said, had you delayed, you would have died. I said, all of you are saying like that. All of you witch doctors. Anyway, she gave me her charms. I went back to the seminary. When the charms were going bad, I was also going bad. And in 1991, in June, I was lying in my bed. I saw myself coming out, darkness coming out. Instead of going to rest in heaven, I was ascending, going to hell. Wow. Wow. And I was falling down under a thick darkness. I couldn't see anything, even like this. After some time, I looked down. It was as if you were in the aircraft. You see how the valleys and the mountains and everything. But there was no place without fire. I knew I'm going to hellfire. So I cried out, Jesus, save me, sinner. You know, sometimes we are proud when we are okay. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. But time comes when you know that you are not yourself and things are not good for you. Right. Or you cry out to Jesus. Yeah. And those who don't know Jesus are living dangerously. Yeah. You see? And then I cried out, save me, a sinner. I don't want to die to go to hell, but to heaven. And the Bible says, those who shall call at the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I called the name of the Lord, I was suspended. You know, like that. I was not falling, I was suspended. And then I began rising. And I woke up. When I woke up, I heard the voice, take your Bible and read. So I grabbed the scriptures that I was reading like history or like newspaper. I didn't have any connection between me and the Bible. We are far apart. I despised it. I said it's bush, you know. We are learning it for history, you know, just for history and the other theological purpose so that you do well in class, but not for faith. This time I grabbed it. I opened Matthew 4, verse 23, 25. You know about Jesus. He went everywhere teaching, preaching, and healing. All sick among the masses. Oh, so you mean Jesus can heal every disease? Where is he? Oh, he died. He descended into hell. He rose again and went back to heaven. And is seated at the right hand side of God. And today he's not there, but he will come again at the last day. That was my faith. That was my faith. So if we were there today, I should have gone to him to receive my healing. God, this is not good. That's what I said. 3 days later, my son, take your Bible and read. So I grabbed Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, talking about the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. She was 1 year ahead of me. I was 11 years sick. She was 12 years sick. So she was advanced in sickness, and I was following her. But she heard of Jesus and said, only if I touch the hem of his cloak, I shall be healed. So she grabbed the cloak and received instant healing. I said, wow, Lord, God the Father, you should have left the cloak in Jerusalem. People like us should be flying to Jerusalem, getting hold of the cloak, going back home healed. You see? But I suspect that maybe it's possible Osama bin Laden would have come with his soldiers, take it to Pakistan. You come to Jerusalem, the cloak is no longer there. So, sorry, somebody came and took it to Pakistan. You go to Pakistan, oh, sorry, it's nowhere to be seen, maybe in the hills, you see? And people would have been dying on the road, on the way, you know? So I still searched. I said, Lord, why did you do this? 3 days later, my son, take the Bible and read. And I opened Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus is the same today. I mean, yesterday, today, and forever. My eyes opened. The man in me jumped up and said, wow, I have met the Lord. My body was still sick, but somebody in me jumped up and said, oh, yeah, I've met my master, the healer. And I made a covenant instantly. I said, Lord, I vow, if you heal me today, I'll preach about you all over in this nation and elsewhere in the world. And secondly, Father, forgive all my sins. I repented whatever I remembered. And thirdly, now, Lord Jesus, who do not change, come inside of me and allow me to come inside of you. So much so that where you are, I am. And where I am, you are. Be my Lord and my Savior. I didn't know that was the Lord's prayer. I didn't know. I just said it. You know, I was even laughing at born again. I said, they are crazy people, you know. After that, the Lord said, now why are you sleeping? So I jumped up. I opened the door of my condo. I came outside. It was half past one. By 2 o'clock, healing began, you know, flowing inside of me. Yeah. By 3 o'clock, new life. 4 o'clock, tea time. I jumped like a gazelle, you know, full of health. Wow. From 1991 up until to date, as I'm speaking to you, the Lord has maintained my health. Yeah. He is alive.
Yes, he is.
He's well.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed. He's alive in America,
yes.
Alive in Africa,
yes.
Alive in Europe,
yes.
Alive in Asia.
Yes.
His name is Jesus.
Yes.
That one makes the you in you a new person.
Yes.
When I met him, when he healed me, The me in me searched for more of him. Now, one day when I was praying, the Lord said, Mark, I have healed you, but you don't have my power. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to pray with other tongues. I said, devil, get out in the name of Jesus. Now, why did I say that? I said that because I left all people who are praying in tongues. I said, they are crazy people, mentally disturbed. And we called them all sorts of names. Schizophrenics, you know, fanatics, a lot of names. So when I heard praying tongues, I said, no, this is not Jesus. Devil, get up. A week later, the Lord came back and said, son, I've healed you. But those sickness and diseases may come back. Because you don't have my power. Now be filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to pray with other tongues. Then I said, Lord, is it you? The Lord says, me. Then he asked me a funny question. And he said, do you know that my mother was praying in tongues? I said, Mary, praying in tongues? Oh, because I loved her. I knew her. She was like my Lord. I could not pray without mentioning her name. Every time I have to pray to mention her, to know that I've prayed. Without her, her name was... There was no prayer. So Mary was praying in tongues. I rushed into the library. I got the concordance where it is written about tongues. That's where I was reading 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Those who pray in tongues, they speak to God, not to men. I said, ah. Those who speak in tongues, they edify themselves. I said, ah. Paul, I pray in tongues more than all of you. I said, ah. You know. Brethren, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking with other tongues. I said, oh. Yeah. Signs and wonders will follow them who believe. I said, ah. In my name, they'll cast out demons. I said, ah. In my name, they'll speak with other tongues. And this is Jesus. I said, oh, Lord, sorry. Then I went to the Bible again and discovered that Mary was there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Mary and the brothers of Jesus were there. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to pray in other tongues to speak with us. I said, oh, Mary prayed in tongues. I'm sorry. Oh. Then I read again Acts chapter 10, where I read Peter was speaking in the house of Cornelius. As he was speaking, as he was preaching the word of God, testifying Jesus. Mr. Cornelius, the commander, began praying in tongues. Bikapata rosa, robobosi, and the wife, kipiti, tarara, totorosa, kapra. Even the children, bikatondosi, kapata. You know, everyone praying. And Peter says, look, these people have received the Holy Ghost like us. Who can prohibit us from baptizing them with water? So confirmation started before baptism. The ways of God are not men's ways. Hallelujah. And I read all those. I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. On 2nd January 1992, I began praying in tongues. When I started praying in tongues, I went to level number 3, loving the scriptures. I began loving the Bible. The word of God. I began loving the word of God more than anything. And I began reading Genesis, Revelation. Genesis, Revelation. And I began knowing a lot of things, a lot of things. And then after 6 months, I went home. And the Lord said, my son, I want you to pray for your niece. I said, Lord, I've never prayed for anyone sick. And I've never done that. I tried one time. It didn't work. So leave me alone. So the Lord said it again. Pray for your niece. I want to heal her. So I said, Lord, I've told you. You hear better than us. Leave me alone. Then the Lord said, please pray. I said, okay, Lord, okay, fine. I said, my dear, do you want healing? So she says, yes. How long have you been sick? She says, three months. I said, Lord, you see, 3 months. 3 months is a long time. So the Lord said, you cannot heal her, but I can heal her in you. The you outside is a nobody. But the you inside with Jesus is somebody. I said, Faustina, sit down. She sat down. She was just bleeding for 3 months, you know, like that woman in the Bible. I said, Lord, I've never prayed for anyone, and you have told me to pray. Then let me pray. I say, follow me. I want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So she received Jesus. And then I laid my hand and said, Lord, you have said we shall lay hands on the sick. So I laid, you know, like a baby in the Lord. I laid my hand. As soon as I just touched her, she fell down. I said, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, please sit upright. I want to pray for you. So she couldn't sit upright. As I was telling her more, she began praying in tongues. Rikapata, shakapa. I said, did I tell you about the Holy Spirit? You shut up your mouth. I want to pray for you. She went on to pray, and then I kept quiet. I was looking at her, and then the Lord said, this is your work. Wow. Do this to people who seek me. Prepare people for the rapture. I'm coming. I said, Lord, no, I'm going to be a priest next year. I can't do this. And if my bishop hears about it, I'm finished. So the Lord said, I'll hide you. I'll cover you. Preach me to the people. You'll be ordained. So that was 91. By 93, I was ordained a priest. And then after 5 years in the ministry, I was praying, leading people to Christ. But there was a lot of war. Eventually, the Lord said, now come, leave everything. Leave whatever you have. Come and follow me. Even the money and everything you own, leave. So it was very, very difficult. In 1998, when I left everything and followed the Lord. And when I followed the Lord also gave better than what I left. The Lord is so faithful. But what I want to mean here is the you in you becomes the real you when Jesus is known by revelation inside of you. When you do not know Jesus by revelation inside of you, you cannot become the real you outside. Because the one who empowers the real you inside is no other than Jesus Christ. By revelation. When you know Jesus by philosophy, by metaphysics, by theology, by anthropology, you don't change. Because the you in you is hidden. But when you know Jesus by revelation of your spirit, then Jesus begins to transform your inner you to affect the world. America will be changed by you. You'll bring many people to the Lord because the you inside of you has met Jesus Christ. Without the you inside of you meeting Jesus by revelation, you cannot lead any soul to Jesus. Because you carry no news. You only carry the word of God because you have made Jesus inside of you. So it is up to you to ask God, God, I want you to reveal Jesus Christ inside of me so that I can transform my America, I can transform my Jerusalem, I can transform California, I can transform the world. God has used America for many years as a world watchman. For many, many years. First World War was stopped by you here. Second World War was stopped by you here. Without America, Second World War would have continued. Without America, the First World War would have continued. And America, God has used America to defend many nations, to protect many nations. But God did that because God knows while doing that, you shall be carrying Jesus. You shall be carrying the gospel. And the gospel is the first thing. And so this church shall be filled with people, not because of the bishop, but because you
The you in you has met Jesus, and you are able to testify and to witness the Lord, and you shall be bringing people into this church. Without the you inside of you meeting the Lord Jesus, you'll be coming here alone, sitting alone. In the church of God, we don't have passengers. Passengers are in the Boeing 747-777. This is the church of Jesus, where you invite others who are around you. You cannot allow your neighbors to go to hell while you see. It will be terrible. And the last point, the you becomes you because of the gift of love. If you don't know how to love, then you are not yet a Christian, or you haven't met Christ by revelation. A lot of believers, they want to be loved. And that's why many churches are selfish. When you want to be loved, you are not yet a Christian. Because from Genesis to Revelation, there is no law in the Bible which says you shall be loved as you love others. The Bible says you shall love. Now, Mark 12, verse 29, 30-31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Mark 12. That's the first commandment. Now, the second commandment is you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. So here we have three loves. Love of God with all of you. Number two, love of neighbor. Number three, love of you. Now, if you take the love of you and put it number one, then you are selfish because you have put everything upside down. You are selling fish. That's selfish. You are selling fish. Love number three must be love number three. Love number two must be love number two. And love number one must be love number one. Love of God with all of you, love of neighbor, number two, and love of yourself, number three. If you want to fast, fast, and when time comes for eating, eat. Okay? Yes, you love yourself, you know? Dress well, smile, be happy in the Lord. You love yourself. You take care of yourself. You manage yourself. That's number three. But number four is the hardest love. Now, in the history of salvation, people who die and go to heaven temporarily and come back to earth, they say that in heaven, more are men than women. But in the church on earth, more are ladies than men. The reason is many ladies fail love number four. And love number four is the love of the enemy. And a lot of ladies fail to enter heaven because of this love. They hardly forgive and they hardly forget. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 to 15. Jesus says, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, you will also not be forgiven. And there is no reverse to that law.
Amen. Good word.
Now, dear ladies, who is an enemy? An enemy is a person whom the Lord sends to you, number one, to show to you that things are better for you than that one. Number two, God sends them to you because God wants to promote you through them. Without pressurizing your purpose inside, It cannot come out. So sometimes God will raise up an enemy to put pressure into your purpose in life so that it comes out pure, sanctified, holy, powerful. That's why God raised the enemies in the house of Joseph so that they could sell him. And in Egypt, that woman wanted to rape him. And he was sent into prison without hearing from him. And in the prison, God was to train him to become an eloquent speaker in Jewish language, Egyptian language, and also to know the culture and the tradition of Egypt. And the final training was to know about the White House in Egypt. And when the training was over, God gave him a gift dream. And that dream took him to the White House. Without these enemies, Jose wouldn't have been there. So God will send enemies to you, those who hate you, so that he can bring you higher and higher. If you hate an enemy, you hate your own rising. An enemy is a gift. You know? Tell your neighbor, hate me please, so that God would raise me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And finally, enemies are trainers. God will use them to train you. And if you are not sent into the desert, God cannot bring you out pure. Some people run away from their deserts. Saul was not sent into the desert, he failed. But God used Saul to train David into the desert for 13 years. When he came out, he was well trained. And he became a mighty soldier of God. Amen. Desert experience is beautiful for your own purpose fulfillment. Wow. I'm what I am today because of people who sent me into the desert yesterday. Without them, I wouldn't have made it. Right. Hallelujah. Wow. So when time comes of trial and cross, hold it. Be happy. Rejoice. Don't provoke God to send you into the desert because he does it by himself. Hallelujah. And I am here to announce to you now that you are an evangelist, you are a preacher of the gospel, and the you in you will come out. The you in you will show out. The you in you will never hide in the name of Jesus. And I believe more people will come to Christ because of you. You will evangelize in your neighborhood. And your neighborhood will know the Lord because of you. For the you in you will never hide. May God empower the you in you in the name of Jesus. May God anoint the you in the name of Jesus. May God equip the you in the name of Jesus. And everyone who is watching us on TV, please say this prayer after me. Say, Lord, I open my heart and I invite you, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord and the Savior of my life. Forgive all my sin, Father. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me. And write my name in the book of life. From today, I'll know you, Jesus, by revelation. And America will never be the same. Because of me. In Jesus' name. May God bless America. May God bless Bishop Ed Smith and First Lady and all leaders and all the members. God bless you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May you rise up to your feet.